Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Sai Parenterals Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements do not guarantee the future performance of the company and may involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anil KK, Chairman and Managing Director, for the opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining our earnings conference call to discuss the performance of Q1 FY27. I hope everyone had an opportunity to go through the financial results, press release, and investors' presentation, which are uploaded on the stock exchanges as well as on our company's website. Q1 FY27 is only our second quarter of reporting on the enlarged consolidated base, a base that was first captured in the fourth quarter of financial year 2026. Numa Pharmaceuticals was consolidated with effect from 12th November 2025. Consequently, the first quarter of the previous year, that's Q1 FY26, carries no contribution from Numa, and thus year-on-year comparisons is not like for like. Consolidated total revenue for the quarter stood at 182 crores against 201 crore in the Q4 FY26. Gross profit was 76 crores at gross margin of 41.8%. EBITDA stood at 27 crores at a margin of 14.9%, and profit after tax at 8 crores at margin of 4.3%. Mr. Anil Kumar, CFO, will take you through the details shortly. This first quarter, therefore, represents approximately 24% of our full-year revenue target of 750 crores. That is ahead of where the first quarter needs to be, given our guidance that the year splits 45-55 between the two halves. Our order flow has always been weighted towards the second half, with the fourth quarter historically our strongest. Gross margin improved to 41.8% from 38.1% in the preceding quarter, an expansion of 370 basis points. Our contracts carry a window of 90-120 days between a price revision being notified and being realized. That lag is now beginning to unwind in our favor. The recovery of raw material cost increases remain partial at this stage, and we expect full further benefit to flow across the contract book through the second quarter. EBITDA of 27 crore at margin of 14.9%, an improvement of 50 basis points over the 14.4% recorded in Q4 FY26. I would emphasize that this improvement was achieved on a lower revenue base, and it was achieved despite absorbing elevated air freight costs in Australia. The situation in West Asia delayed consignments from the Indian contract manufacturing network into our Australian market. This affected the industry as a whole, and we took the decision to move available inventory by air rather than by sea in order to protect our customer commitments. That decision carried a cost. In absence of such constraints, our margins for the quarter would have been better. Let me now turn to the strategic developments approved by the Board of Directors yesterday. The Board has approved a proposed variation in the objects of the IPO issue. In substance, we propose to redeploy 83.83 crore, originally earmarked for the capacity expansion and upgradation of our manufacturing facilities, that is, Unit 1 and Unit 2, and 18.02 crores originally earmarked for the establishment of new research and development center towards majority stakes in two operating pharmaceutical assets. The aggregate amount involved is 101.85 crores. The proposal is subject to the approval of shareholders. The purpose for which the IPO funds were raised, namely European GMP compliant injectable capacity for regulated markets and a dedicated research and development platform, remains entirely unchanged. What is being varied is only the manner of execution. The reason for the variation is a change in the regulatory position in Hyderabad. Under the Hyderabad Industrial Lands Transformation Policy, which is called as HILT policy, units situated within the outer ring road may convert that land and relocate outside it, and materially for us, upgradations within the outer ring road are no longer permitted. Unit 1 and 2 at GDMetla falls squarely within that parameter. There is also physical constraint we cannot work around. The GDMetla site measures approximately 3,100 square yards against the 12,000 to 13,000 square yards that a UGMP injectable plant of this scale requires. The site cannot be expanded, so no adjoining land is available to us. So the alternate of building from the ground up afresh would have cost us extended time. A greenfield project began today would have required 7 to 8 months for land allotment alone before construction and could even commence. Against that background, the company proposes to acquire 60% equity stake in Sai Pretty Pharma Private Limited, a newly established company, for 83.83 crores. Sai Pretty has been formed for the purpose of constructing a critical care injectable facility at Gummadala outside the outer ring road on a site of over 15,000 square yards, where already approvals are in place and civil work is already underway. The facility is being built to European GMP and US FDA standards. With the dedicated capability in complex injectables, lyophilization and GLP, along with size general injectable capacity. I want to be precise on one point that I anticipate you may inquire. This is an investment into a project under construction. It is not the purchase of an established business. On the funding structure, the total project cost is estimated 215 crores. The company contribution is 83.83 crores, is unchanged from the amount originally earmarked for upgrading 1 and 2. The balance 40% is being funded by the promoters of Sai Pretty and the residual requirement through project debt. The entire 83.83 crores is applied towards the construction of the facility, and no part of it represents consideration for an existing business, a customer base or a management team. This proposed route delivers approximately 154.66 million units of injectable capacity against approximately 105 million units under the original upgradation plan. That is roughly 47% more capacity on a larger and long-lived asset at an unchanged capex outlay from the company, and with the completion extended only about a month to April 2027. Alongside the facility, we gain access to Sai Pretty's existing domestic critical care franchise of approximately 52 crore, which will be in due course to be manufactured from the same new site. The second transaction addresses the research and development. Our dedicated research and development subsidiary proposes to acquire a 60% equity in Pratyek Laboratories Private Limited for 15 crore. While the quantum originally earmarked for a greenfield research plant center was 18.02 crore, Pratyek operates an established research and development center at Genome Valley in Hyderabad with 3 years of operating history, 65 personnel including 28 research scientists, and a pipeline of 150 SKUs across 86 molecules. With proven capability in lyophilized, liposomal and nano-based complex injectables, and in oncology injectables. Acquiring an operating platform in place of a building, one allows development work to commence immediately upon acquisition. It removes the construction cycle, and it removes what is in truth the considerably harder task that assembling a scientific team of this caliber. The transaction is expected to complete on or before 30th September, with Pratyek becoming a step-down subsidiary of the company and will be named as Sai Pratyek. Definitive agreements and shareholders' approvals, as and when materialized, we will keep the market appropriately informed as those steps are completed. Moving to Australia, of the concluding 5 million required to complete the Australian facility, 3.5 million is being contributed by the company through its own wholly owned subsidiary, Singapore subsidiary, and 1.5 million by the existing Australian shareholders, which has already been invested. The company infused 1.75 million approximately 6 weeks ago, and the board has approved the balance 1.7 million for deployment within the coming week. With this, funding of 53 million Australian program stands complete. Construction is on schedule, with physical completion targeted for January 2027. The TGA licensing inspection anticipated by 31st March 2027, and phase one manufacturing expected from April 2027. The board also has approved the incorporation of the subsidiary in the United States to be held as a step-down subsidiary through Sai Parenterals Pte. Singapore. The entity is being created to support the company's evaluation of an entry into the United States market. This evaluation is at a preliminary stage, and we will make appropriate disclosures as and when there are developments to report. Let me close my remarks by reiterating our guidance of 750 crore in revenue for FY 2027 at an EBITDA margin of around 17%. The year is weighted towards the second half, in line with how these businesses already have always behaved. We shall enter the upcoming quarters with the deferred volumes still to be recovered at our Australian facility approaching completion. FY 2027 remains a year of building. FY 2028 is when the build should start showing in our performance. With that, I'll hand over to Mark Kilbourne, Chief Executive Officer of Neumed Pharmaceuticals, who will speak to the Australian platform in greater detail. Over to you, Mark.
Thank you, Anil, and good evening to everybody on the call. I'd just like to spend a few minutes on the Australian and New Zealand platform. Basically, to cover across the structure of the business, which explains a good deal of what you should expect to see in the term over the next 2 years. Neumed is an IP registration holder, and that is the foundation of everything that we do inside the business. We develop or acquire the dossier, we secure the TGA approval, and we bring first-to-market product to multinationals and generics. At that approval is what allows us to enter the private label supply agreement with a particular supply chain and deal with the particular pharmacy, which then retails the product under its own consumer brands. The pharmacy chains own the brands, but we own all the registration and hold the IP. They do no manufacturing. That is precisely the gap that Neumed fills as providing the turnkey solution whilst we hold the market authorization. We also hold the inventory, manage the logistics, forecasting, and providing warehousing, distribution, and regulatory support. Inclusive of that covers across the pharmacovigilance. Today, we hold 5 exclusive long-term contracts, and we hold 10 exclusive supply molecule contracts covering 526 SKUs. The typical terms are 5 years and more and written with product-wise annual volume forecasts, actual offtake, and has consistency of run ahead of those forecasts. At this present stage in forecasting on some of these molecules is increased by around about 8% overall in the market. On the customer side, our two largest customer relationships are Wesfarmers Health, which sit in the top 20 of the ASX-listed group, supplied through Priceline private label and Pharmacy Health generic brands. and with the EBOS Group in the top 150 ASX-listed companies supplied through the TerryWhite Chemmart banner and the Pharmacy Choice generic brand, which operates across Australia, New Zealand and Southeast Asia. Alongside these, we also supply Inova with the Demazin and Duratus brands in Australia on an exclusive nature. Enabled by the group's research and incorporating Size Development Centre, taken together, the Wesfarmers Health and EBOS Sandoz networks cover across over 2,900 pharmacies of the 5,500 pharmacies that exist in Australia. The balance of the pharmacies is covered across our multinational network with such brands covered by Inova and other parties as multinationals. And these being vertically integrated into our business from the supply side. In New Zealand, our position rests the same on contracts won through the Pharmac tender position and strengthened by our exclusive intellectual property rights on several registered products, inclusive of all high-hitting narcotics that we supply into New Zealand. Before I come to Adelaide, let me spend a moment on the exclusive OTC supply agreement that we have just renewed with the EBOS Group, being TerryWhite Chemmart and Pharmacy Choice. This agreement was renewed on the 1st of July 2026, and this renewal is a platform of our relationship of providing turnkey solutions that has been renowned materially in increasing the pharmacy's profit margin and also display of product on shelf, which increases a wider portfolio and a longer tenor of significant higher value than the agreement that it replaces. It is valued, the agreement as a whole is valued at 202 million AUD, or approximately 1300 crore at $1 to RS64.5. The agreement is set in stone exclusively for 7.5 years. That works out to be around about 27 million AUD a year. And there is a further period of a 3-year extension by mutual agreement, which would take the agreement out to 2036. Two features of that agreement are worth drawing down on. The first is that it is built to grow. The targets, the addition of 12 new products every year by utilising our integration with SAI and its development platform through its R&D centre, also value the scope of the contract and increase its life for each of those launches. The second is the scope that follows through NewMed as we continue to manage our manufacturing, product sourcing, regulatory compliance, TGA registrations, warehousing, quality assurance, and nationwide distribution. The chain has entrusted NewMed with the entire value chain as a single partner for a long extended period of time. And through that process, it has now increased its level in the market to deal with market conditions from NewMed and supplying them with ease. In practical terms, it locks in the predictable, recurring revenue for the balance of this decade and gives a firmer base on which we can plan our capacity. Because of this renewal that takes effect from the 1st of July 26, its contribution begins in Q2 FY27 and runs through the balance of that year. Turning to Q1 FY27, as Anil noted, the West Asian situation delayed consignments from the Indian contract manufacturing network into the Australian market. This was an industry-wide disruption, and rather than a NewMed specific one. Our service level agreements, our minimum supply obligations to the pharmacy chains have all been met. Whatever the quarter looks like at this point in time, we have released ourselves from any severe penalties through any contracts in relation to do with our continuity of supply. So we've moved inventory available by air rather than by sea. And as Neil alluded to, the cost of doing so has obviously hit the quarter's margin. Also, we would like to note that we've absorbed cost increases over the past 3 months. On the Adelaide facility, the facility at this point in time is on schedule. The internal builds such as clean rooms, HVAC, water and power rings, drain rings and equipment is complete, with all equipment now in process of order and delivery. We're working towards physical completion at the end of January 2027, which will commence the starting and validation work of our first packing lines through December and January, with completing of that validation in February and TGA licensing and inspection by March 2027. And the grant of our license of phase one manufacturing. The starting point in phase one, and I must take note to call out the phase one process. With the period of the Irani position and the disruption in supply chain, the facility in Australia is now become paramount to NewMed and Sire's success as an incorporated company together. It alleviates stock pressure and stock issues that we have to deal with in relation to do with supply out of the CMO network, and ensures the supply to our partners. Hence, in turn, while our partners have increased most of their contractual base for long extended periods of time, as NewMed being able to offer through the facility tablets, liquid orals, nasal sprays, creams, ointments, and it's supported through the process of the federal government grant of $20 million under the Modern Manufacturing Initiative for sovereign capacity and supply within Australia. The facility changes is not the revenue, but what we do is earn from that. Today, product is largely sourced, as we're aware, from third-party manufacturers. This will then start to withdraw, and we will be utilising our own internal network with site rentals and our self-manufacturing. There is also a second quite different benefit to this, and that is our service levels and our stock levels of supply will change. At this point in time, we're into a position of having to mandatorily hold 9 to 10 months worth of inventory due to the 60-day, 90-day shipping lead times from India and other networks in our CMO criteria. Local manufacturing removes this lead time, and we expect inventory to ease to around 5 to 6 months worth of inventory base. Equally, one Indian source container of inputs and materials replaces 8 finished goods containers, which frees both warehouse space and working capital. Vertical integration also extends upstream, and NewMed draws on size packaging, raw material and API sourcing leverages throughout India to incur that we sit in a position of lower costs and inputs. In the short, in summary, we own the registration, we hold a contract customer relation of considerable tenure, and we will shortly own the manufacturing as well. This has been favourably adhered to from our customers, whilst our customers are signing on longer term contracts for continuity of supply. With that, I'd like to hand over to Mr. Anil Kumar, our Chief Financial Officer.
Thank you, Mark, and good evening, everyone. I'll take you through the financial performance for the quarter, beginning with the standalone business and then moving to the consolidated results. On a standalone basis, total revenue stood at 36 crores against 20 crores in Q1 of last year, a growth of 175%. We recorded a gross profit of 22 crores against 10 crores, a growth of 127% at a gross margin of 39% against 47% in the corresponding quarter of last year. EBITDA was at about 17 crores against 4 crores, a growth of more than 4 times at a margin of about 29% against 30% of previous year. That is an expansion of 890 basis points year on year, and it is primarily on account of operating leverage. PAT stood at 9 crore at a margin of 15%, a growth of more than 11 times over the 0.8 crore reported in Q1 of FY26. Moving to the consolidated results, and repeating the caveat that Mr. Anil Kumar Karusala said, raised at the outset, Q1 FY27 includes a full quarter of NewMed Pharmaceuticals, whereas Q1 FY26 includes none. NewMed have been consolidated with effect from 12th November 2025. The year-on comparison is accordingly not like for like. Consolidated total revenue, including other income, stood at 182 crores. Gross profit stood at 76 crores at a margin of 41% as against 38% in last quarter, that is of Q4 of FY26. EBITDA was at 27 crores at a margin of 14.9% against 14.4% in Q4 of FY26. Profit after tax stood at 8 crore at a margin of 4.3%. The sequential decline in PAT against 13.2 crores in Q4 of FY26 reflects a lower revenue base and importantly a normalized tax charge in Q1 of FY27. As on 30th June 2026, the debt stood at approximately about 310 crores as against March debt of about 319 crores. With cash and cash equivalent of about 184 crores. FY27 is expected to be a peak year of debt growth for the existing business as we complete the ongoing capex and acquisition program with deleveraging from FY28 as these assets begin to contribute to earnings and cash flows. Even at peak debt, the group's debt to equity ratio is comfortably placed at 0.6 times. I would add that the project debt associated with the new injectable facility sits at the subsidiary level and will get added on as and when it materializes. As indicated, we are well placed for a turnover of 750 crores with an EBITDA of about 17%. With that, I would request the moderator to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Vandit Dharamshi with Antara Growth Capital. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, on good set of numbers and a detailed explanation. A couple of questions. First one was on the order that we won from a pharmacy in Australia, the 202 million AUD order. There we have spoken about we would be developing on 12 newer drugs. So does the existing order size include those 12 drugs or would they be above the order value?
Mark will take this question, Dharamshi. Thank you very much. I think Mark would be the right person to answer this. Mark, over to you.
Thank you. Yes, look, the 12 products that are NPD year on year, these products have been the first 2 years products, so the first 24 products have already been identified between NewMed and the customer. With that, Sci will be actually developing and has already started development, but they will be developing 8 of these products with 6 already started. 4 other products are exclusive contracts on supply that we've taken up for the Australasian area. And the remaining of those products are actually being developed through a strategic partnership that we have with Catalent out of the US, and they are based on soft gels, which we don't manufacture soft gels in any of our facilities at this point in time. So that's the first 24 NPDs, and then from there we'll get another set of NPDs as each year rolls on. And we normally get them between 18 to 24 months in advance.
Fair to assume that the order value consists of the expected revenue from these drugs, or would these drugs be up and above the order value?
No, these drugs will be up and these drugs will be up and above the value. The value that we have tabled is the existing value of the existing supply portfolio.
Okay. Second question is on how are we able to win this kind of a large contract given that there would be other players and should we expect such kind of other order wins of this size over the next 1 year?
The order value because this order value is all forecasted and the run rate's forecasted, so the order is fairly sound at 27 million for the next 12 months. Their standardized growth year on year has been running at around about 8%. And that what that comes back to is the number of new pharmacies that they bring into their portfolio and chain. So, you know, in a stabilized environment over a 12-month period, Terry White EBOS would bring on around about, say, 35 pharmacies. They may lose between 12 to 14 pharmacies, and they would have a net growth of around about 16 pharmacies. So across their network, they would normally grow at a standard of between 5 to 8% year on year.
So should we expect such kind of order wins over the next 1 year? Should there be more order wins of this size for NewMed over the next 1 year?
Sorry, could you repeat that question again? You broke up a little bit.
Okay, should there be more such order wins for NewMed over the next 1 year?
Yes, there should. That's correct.
Okay. And last question is, with the new Australia plant coming up, what kind of CMO opportunities do we have in pipeline right now? And how do you see that playing out?
There are several CMO opportunities from multinationals at this point in time, not just utilising our own intellectual property, our own IP dossiers, but also tech transferring product in from them. I can't elaborate any further at this point in time on that, but I can say that there are several multinational companies that we have engaged very serious conversation with.
Bharat, wishing you all the very best. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next
Thank
question
you.
Comes from the line of Vanshi Shah with EVNA Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, Vanshi.
Yeah, so I have three questions, actually. First is, the company is undertaking several initiatives simultaneously, the NewMed integration, new manufacturing capacity, R&D expansion, and the US entry. How are you ensuring that the management bandwidth does not become a constraint to execution? Second question is, yes, sir, please go ahead.
Yeah, Vanshi, I'll answer this question, Vanshi. Then I'll take up the second question.
Sure.
See, at every acquisition, if you see the NewMed acquisition, Sai is not only investing money on the acquisition, it is investing the money on the management. See, for example, we own 74.6% in NewMed and 25.4% is owned by Mark and his team. Mark and his team are the people who deliver everything at NewMed. So they are the people instrumental in getting this business to this level. And they are the people, successful people in putting up NewMed business platform under this platform. So it's the NewMed bandwidth who performs, and we will be supporting them in terms of manufacturing, in terms of fund arrangement, in terms of the other things, whatever they need help from R&D space, on the procurement from India, everything we do it. The same case with, I have reiterated in that our Pratek Laboratories also, the reason why we went with the Pratek Laboratories is with respect to the 67 people who are already on board, out of which 4 people under management who are performing quite consistently for the last 3 years, and they made the difference. And we are retaining them, and they will be part of the Pratek going forward in the R&D, because each one of them owns at least more than 28 years experience individually, so they will add more value there. So it's not that Sai is doing everything. Sai is acquiring a facility where there is enough of potential people who are running the business, so we are betting on them also, not only on what we are acquiring the stakeholders, but we are also believing in the potential of the existing bandwidth of the management available in there.
Understood, sir. So my next question is, on the revised utilization of the IPO proceeds, Could you explain the strategic rationale for acquiring 60% of the new manufacturing entity rather than upgrading the existing facilities as originally envisaged?
Yeah, I'll do that. So what happened is we filed this IPO document in September 30th, 2025. And the objectives were formed during that part of time. And we went with the objectives of upgrading the facility 1 and 2. What happened is in the month of February, Vanshi, there was a government order from the government of Telangana. The units which are categorized under red category and orange category, which are within the premises of the outer ring road, has to go out of the outer ring road in terms of the pollution control measures, and they don't want after 3 years the units to be surviving in the existing industrial estates of red and orange category. So incidentally, they also enlightened us that we can't give any further permissions for the upgradations in these facilities, because government has taken a firm decision of moving out red category and orange categories out of the outer ring road perspective, that is outside the city. So that is, this order has come in the month of February, March in 2026. Then we went back to the drawing board and we understood that investing another 83 crores at the existing facilities is not going to help us, because in the next 2 to 3 years, again, we have to relocate as per the new government regulations. That's exactly where we went to the government for an allotment of land. And we were promised to give the allotment and we started scouting for the lands. At that point of time, we were understood that the land allotment and the permissions for the land are going to take at least not less than 6 to 8 months for getting the permissions. During which part of the time, where when we are scouting for the land, we came across one facility which was started in the last month. They have procured the land. They have started the facility, exactly the same facility what we want to set up. The liquid injectable line with lyophilization, the GLP, the dry powder injectable, and the ampoule and vial combination. So they are doing it for their own marketing purpose, because that company is having a business in the domestic business in India and they are doing around 52 crore worth of sales. So they are setting up this manufacturing plant for themselves. When we went to them and understood that, they are also having the sales and they are also to be part of it. To do again wait for another 8 months for the land allotment and the approvals, we said, why don't we acquire this completely? So we went for the proposal to acquire it 100%, but they proposed it that they also want to be manufacturing a lot of their domestic whatever they want to be manufactured from this site. So after a lot of deliberations and discussions, they agreed to give 60% of the stake in that company, wherein we will be investing our 83 crores into that company and they will be investing their portion, and the facility will be built, is being built on that facility on the plant, which will now last. Earlier we thought we will go only for EU approval. Now this will qualify for USFDA with another 50% upgradation in the facility, in the manufacturing outcome. So it's a win-win situation for me. One is the time. The second is their existing manufacturing which comes into the into this facility, their existing business will come into this facility. So the FX cost will get break-even in the first year itself, and it becomes a larger entity in terms of a facility, and we can go and all out with USFDA also. Whenever we want to do the registration with the US, we can start registering this company in US also.
Understood, sir. That clarifies. Sir, one last question from mine. The new facility offers around 47% higher injectable capacity and USFDA EU GMP compliant capabilities. What incremental product, customers or markets do you expect this facility to unlock?
Plan was to go for EU and ROW markets, Vanshi. We will still start with ROW and markets. The potentially the prestige laboratories R&D which we are investing and buying out, there are already 125 critical care injectable development already happened at that site. Now, the biggest advantage for us is we just have to transfer the technologies to the new plant. So, with this, we don't have to waste time on the development of the products at the new facility. We've already done at our R&D setup. We just have to transfer them. That is the biggest advantage where we are getting on the Pratyek Laboratories acquisition. Already 150 molecules are there which are already developed, which form critical care injectables, which are the exact products which we are going to transfer to the existing site. So typically what we are going to do is first we will target Europe, then and Southeast Asia, Latin America and Middle East. These are the first what we have identified and what we have spoken in the IPO objective. We will still stick to that. But going forward, now we have an option of going to the US markets, which we will be reviewing at a later date. Given a chance, we will still go with the US FDA after this is completed.
Understood, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much for answering my questions and all the best.
Thank you very much, Ranji.
A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Mohammed Namir with Eco Quantum Solutions. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Over the past few years, we have observed a downward trend in the license for injectable segment. Could management share insights into the primary drivers behind this pricing pressure, such as increased market competition, shifting product mix, or regulatory pricing of actions?
Can you just repeat the question because it's little not audible? Sorry.
Yeah. No worries. Over the past few years, we have observed a downward trend in realization for injectable segment. Could you please highlight the reason for that? Yeah.
Yeah. So now the important reason for our injectable growth, what we are anticipating is if you see our past growth. Our unit 1 and 2 is majorly we are doing a domestic market and we have not gone anything out of the country for ROW or European markets because they are not qualified under the existing facilities. That is one of the basic reasons why we went with an upgradation to EU GMP plant. Currently, whatever the exports we are doing, the entire exports are only oral dosage formulations and cephalosporins. Till now, we did not cater any of our injectable space into exports. Because we have done some marketing on, we have done a survey of the critical care injectables marketing in ROW markets and Europe. And we have seen a lot of space available there in those markets. That's the primary reason where we are going with the lyophilization and GLP, which is having a much more market in these areas. And we are just trying to establish that market position there in the ROW and Europe markets.
Understood. Another question was regarding Nomed. In RHP, there is a revenue of around 316 crore rupees for Nomed, whereas the other expense is 126 crores. So I just want to understand whether it is one-off or will it continue with such high other expense going forward as well?
Yeah, one second, Mohammed. CFO will answer the question.
Yeah. Mohammed, what do you want is, you are saying that Numed Australia, we have one-off expenses. That's what you want to clarify?
Yeah. Their expenses is higher at 126 crores, whereas revenue is 300-odd crores.
Yeah. See, last quarter, as Mark had indicated, that there were supply constraints. So based on those supply constraints, we had to incur additional costs on freight and regulatory costs. So there has been delays, and that's why revenue has dropped a bit in the last quarter for Numed. So there was one-time hits in the last quarter because of constraints of supplies, which we had to incur additional costs.
Okay, thank you. That's it from the side.
Thank you.
A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Arvind Arora with A Square Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. So congratulations, sir, on the good set of numbers. So, sir, is there any upward revision in the guidance that you are planning since since we acquire and then as you were planning, like 8 months will take on the land development and other activity from compliance perspective. So is there any thought process on the upward revision for the next year as well?
Arvind, I'm sticking my neck only to 750 crore with 17% EBITDA for this year. And if there is anything to be reported in a revision, I will look at it in the next quarter. But as of now, we were sticking the number with 750 crore with 17% EBITDA. And we will be taking the call as and when we go into the next tender, the last quarter.
No, sir, I am asking for FY
28,
not for
28. Yeah, 28, Arvind, we just not thought more on that because still we want to see how the 3 quarters goes in. Then we want to be pretty sure when we give the number to the market, we want to see how the numbers plans to go in the next 2 quarters. Then we'll get a better idea and then we'll put the number before the last quarter.
Understood. And sir, can I see this quarter as in like worst is overdone kind of thing? Like the margins and everything will be improved from this quarter onwards?
Yeah, Arun, if you see, when compared, you should not compare me with the last quarter because I told very clearly, fourth quarter is always a heavy quarter for us. Obviously, it's an outstanding performance last quarter. This quarter, if you see, whatever I have put on my money on 750 crore, I said 44-55 will be the ratio. Even in the last earnings call, I'm making it very, very pointful that first half will be at 44 and the second half will be at 55. So, if you see that numbers, we have performed more than what we said and the only thing what we have done is EBITDA of another 2%. That's only because of the disruptions in the supplies and the air freight at Newmet. But that's gone. Now I think next quarters, I don't think we'll have the challenges coming in. And you can clearly see a visibility of that 750 and 17% crossing on very, very smoothly and comfortably.
Understood. Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you again.
The next question comes from the line of Devanshi Shah with HUF Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So I had a couple of questions from my end. So I wanted to understand, is Sai Krithi a related party in any form?
No. It's not a related party. It was established by the promoters of Sai Krithi and their own. Now, since we did not get this approval from the shareholders, we just announced, took the board permission and post shareholders approval, then we will have an entry into that once the shareholders approval is done. We don't have any connection with Sai Krithi as of today.
Got it, sir. Also, could you provide more clarity on the remaining 40% ownership in the new entity? As in, who is the shareholder, what strategic, you know, values does it bring, and what is the eventual plan for acquiring the balance stake?
Two things, sir. One is the balancing of that, Criticon Pharma is the one who holds that, the 100% as of today. And their subsidiary of Questus Pharma, which is doing into the domestic marketing is there in their arm of Questus Pharma is of the Criticon Pharma. They both are the shareholders in that company, number one. Number two, the 40% shareholding, whatever they are holding in, they will get the investment. I explained in my previous this thing. Now the project cost is costing us around 217 crores, out of which we will be investing 83 crores as a 60%. The balance 40% will be invested by them around roughly around 56 crores. They will get their investment into the company. They've already started investment on the land, on everything they've already started, and it's still going good. And the balance, whatever is required, we will go for a project debt. So this is how we were looking at the means of finance for this. Number two, also, they will be, as I explained to you last time, in the just 2 minutes before, their existing portfolio of the products, they have an existing portfolio of the products in domestic marketing, where they are doing around 52 to 53 crores of the domestic sale year on year, which currently they are manufacturing from a CMO network across India. Now going forward, how it looks is, once the facility comes in, Sai also will get the products manufactured in Sai Pretty for our injectable profile, whatever we are existing sales. They will also use the facility and they will also get the products manufactured from there. The exports will happen from Sai Pretty directly. The CMO will happen directly from Sai Pretty. So it's all about people coming together, and there is a lot of OPEX saver here when we go in the first stage itself.
Got it, sir. Also, on the R&D acquisition, what are the key capabilities of the team, major molecules under development and the commercial potential of the existing 150 SKUs and 86 molecules?
So, there are quite a number of products. The more coming of lyophilized and critical care injectable, liposomal injections, and oncology products. And they are also there, some regular critical care cephalosporin products also they have developed. It's a product of 150 with 86 molecules and 150 SKUs. So the team which is there, total 67 people are there, out of which 28 people are very, very senior level people. And they have been working in this for the last 3 years. And top 5 of them is having an experience of more than 25 years in this R&D development earlier. So they have the team has every capability of doing every molecule. In fact, they are now right now doing the complex molecules. So for them, going with the oral dosage facility, oral dosage molecule development is very easy for them because they are already done in the complex molecules. So it's going to be this from day one. Once we acquire, the R&D will start its activity for the Sai and NewMed. What are all the developments we have to do at a Sai level and NewMed development, we will be taking it up from the first day in Pratik.
Got it, sir. That was helpful. Thank you. That's it from my end.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Mohit Oberoi with PJ Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Just wanted to confirm if I'm audible.
Yes, Mohit, please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So I have a few questions. First one is that you have announced plans to establish a US subsidiary. What is the precise strategy? Will this initially be a sales or commercial platform or eventually involve local manufacturing? And when do you expect the US business to start contributing meaningfully?
It's too premature to discuss this part, because now the US subsidiary, whichever we are going to, which we took the permission from the board to start a US subsidiary, there are certain things which we are working on with the evaluation part, where we can have an entry into the US market. Everything is under consideration, not yet decided everything. We will come to the shareholders and the market at a right appropriate time. When the opportunity is seized and our evaluation gets completed, then obviously we'll come to the market and we will declare that. So as of now, it's just a subsidiary formation to evaluate the opportunities going forward.
Okay. So my second question is that is the decision to establish the US subsidiary through the Singapore entity driven by any specific tax, regulatory, or tariff considerations?
When we established Singapore entity, we had in mind investment arm at Singapore because that is the arm which we have used for acquisition of NewMed Australia. There are tax benefits between Australia and Singapore, and that's where it was established. Right now, US is very, very preliminary. We have not yet evaluated the tax benefits and going forward scenario for US entity. But as and when we progress with it, we will revert on this. We will evaluate and revert.
Okay, sure. And my last question is about debt. That with existing debt of around rupees 300 crore and incremental debt from the new initiatives, what should we consider the peak debt level over the next 2 to 3 years? And what is the intended deleveraging path thereafter?
Okay. Yeah. Mohit, the current debt as of June 2027 is about 310 crores. As against last quarter of March 26, we had about 320 crores. So the debt has gone up by about, the debt has come down by about 10 crores. If you remember the IPO proceeds, we had envisaged that we will repay two of the loans, one from Tata Capital of about 14 crores and one of the acquisition of 36 crores. So we repaid a loan of 50 crores. So there has been, the overall reduction is about 10 crores as we had taken certain loans for NewMed acquisition for the CapEx plan. So the debt has come down by about 10 crores as against last quarter. So the debt is probably at a group level without taking into new projects is fairly well placed and it will only keep going down as we repay our debts. However, for the SciCity acquisition, there will be an additional debt based on 60-40% ratio of equity and balance would be funded through a debt. But I would see that debt-equity ratio should be in the range of 0.6%, which should be fairly well placed for us.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. That was very helpful.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. For any further queries, you can contact the SGA Investor Relations team. On behalf of Sai Parentals Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.